So, the children of Israel moved to Egypt, and they multiplied there, right? Starting off, there were about how many of them? Does anyone remember a number? A little bit, yeah, 20 more, 70 people. 70 people moved, and they multiplied greatly when they got to Egypt. Now, how did the Egyptians feel about this? They were not happy. Why? Exactly. Yeah, they thought if a war broke out, the Israelites might side with the enemy. And so what did they decide to do? Yep, they made them as slaves. And not just come bring me a drink of water slaves, but they were under oppression, very hard oppression. So who did the Israelites turn to for help? Not Joseph, yes, Moses, but who did they turn to? God. And then God sent them help through Moses. Now, let's talk about Moses for a little bit. Moses is an Israelite. However, he grew up in whose house? Pharaoh, exactly, yes. Yep, exactly. Yep, he grew up in an Egyptian house or Pharaoh's house. And so Moses ended up leaving Pharaoh's house and leaving Egypt when he killed a man, and he became fearful that someone was going to kill him. So he went to a faraway land called Midian. Now, he stayed there for a number of years until one day God appeared to him in a burning bush and told Moses to do what?
Go back to Egypt.
And how did Moses first respond to that? Yeah, yeah, he felt like I couldn't do it. But what did God say? To trust him, and he said, I will give you Aaron. Exactly. He said, I will give you Aaron to speak for you. Exactly. Hello, Sister Donna. Yes, hello. So, today is a loaded day. We're going to cover a lot of material. Remember, I always say I refuse to... How many smart people do I have in the room? Everybody should raise their hands. So, we're going to go through a lot of material today. You're going to learn some new things, but are you ready? Are you on board?
Yes.
Okay. Who has their packets also? You don't have anything to write this week, but it is... No packets? No packets? Do you still know where they are, at least? Okay. As long as you still know where they are, but get in the habit of bringing your packets. So, Moses, okay, and his brother Aaron, they do indeed go back to Egypt. They went back into Egypt, okay? And they went to Pharaoh, and they told Pharaoh what God told them to say. They said, let our people go. And Pharaoh said, no. So God goes back, or Moses goes back to God, kind of like, God, you know, what's up? You told me to let Pharaoh tell the Israelites to go, but he said no. And God said, listen, Pharaoh's heart is hard, okay? His heart is bad. He said, Pharaoh doesn't even believe that I am God. So what we have to get about Egyptian culture in that time is that they served multiple gods. In fact, they believed that Pharaoh himself was God. So when Moses comes up and says, my God has told you to let my people go, Pharaoh says no, because he thinks of himself as God. And so God said, okay, well, our God, the one true God, says, I will show that I am the true God. I will show that I am powerful. I am going to send, key phrase here, supernatural plagues. In other words, okay, what supernatural means is it's something that science can't explain. Okay, if something is super, it's what?
Good.
It's bigger. Yeah, yeah, it's big. So it's bigger than nature. It's bigger than normal. And a plague is a really bad thing. And we're going to learn about 10 of them today. A plague is a really bad thing. Well, we're going to talk about that. We did not do this already. We just talked about the bush last time. You may have done it before, but we haven't done it here. So he said, I'm going to send some supernatural plagues. Terrible events, God said, I'm going to send on Egypt. I'm going to show that I am God, that I'm in control of nature. So God sent 10 of these plagues. The first plague God sent was he turned all the water in Egypt into blood. So they had no water, no clean water to drink. I have some water in here right now that I got from the water fountain. All the water in here, if I was in Egypt at this time, would be blood. Okay, how nasty is that? Now you would think that Pharaoh at this point would have said, okay, they can go. But Pharaoh said, he said no. So God said, okay, I'll send a second plague. And then the second plague, frogs took over the whole land of Egypt. Everywhere you go, rabbit, 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 frogs, 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 everywhere. Everywhere you go, frogs, 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 all over Egypt. So Moses goes to Pharaoh. He says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. God sent a third plague. He sent gnats. What are gnats? Kind of. Yeah, they're kind of like flies. They're real small. They're the ones that when you're outside in the summertime, they're those little ones that you don't even see and you're always hitting and swatting gnats. Yeah, gnats. Just all those. And we get annoyed with them with the amount we have, but God sent all the dust that was in the land turned into gnats. So everywhere you go, I mean, you can't escape. You can't walk away from them. You can't swat them. Everywhere you go, just gnats, 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 everywhere. Well, and that's a good question. For a lot of these plagues in the text, God says it'll afflict the Egyptians, but not the Israelites. Well, they still had provisions. Like for an example is coming up with livestock, where the Egyptians' animals died, but the Israelites didn't. So God still took care of his people during this time. So gnats took over the whole land. It's real, real annoying. And Moses says, Pharaoh, let them go. And Pharaoh says, no. What happened to the frogs? Well, no, at that point, like any time a new plague was sent, the plague before it went away. Because Pharaoh would lie. He would say, okay, fine, I'll let him go. And then God would stop the plague. But then right after that, he would say, basically, I'm just joking. No. Okay. He changed his ways frequently. God sent a fourth plague. This time we have flies. How many like flies? You like flies? Okay, well, most people don't like flies. And let me tell you, the Egyptians at this point didn't like flies. Flies took over the whole land. Everywhere you go, bzzz, flies, 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 flies. Moses says, Pharaoh, let him go. And Pharaoh says, no. God sent a fifth plague. All the livestock or the animals of the Egyptians. Now, keep in mind how important this is. Their food is coming from these animals. All the livestock of the Egyptians died. Yeah. All the livestock died. Now, it's getting personal now. People's food is being affected. And this is how people made money. This is getting really personal. Now it's past just annoying at this point. Life isn't even the same for the Egyptians. And Moses goes to Pharaoh, who could stop this at any point if he just let the Israelites go. And Pharaoh says,
no.
God says, okay, I'm going to send a sixth plague. Boils. Now, boils are like bumps on the body. But they're ones that hurt really bad. So they're more like sores. It's not just a pimple. These are like sores that hurt on the body. And boils appeared on the Egyptians. Go ahead. What? Just to Pharaoh? That's a good question. And primarily because, going back to the beginning, it wasn't just Pharaoh that believed in other gods. All the Egyptians didn't believe in our God, the one true God, as God. So we're going to talk in a moment when we get to understanding why these things happen, that God did this to prove to everybody that he was God. Because what's the word for this whole unit, the W word? Worship. And does God want just Israel to worship him?
No.
He wants everybody to worship him. So he wanted to show himself to the Egyptians as well. So boils appeared. They hurt on the body. Moses goes, let them go so that God's people may serve him. And Pharaoh says, he says no. Still. I know, still. Go ahead, KJ. Yes. Now, God sent a seventh plague. Hail. Yeah. It's like snow that hurts. It's like snow that hurts, falling from the sky. Yeah, I mean, if you've ever seen hail, it doesn't come too often, but it might crack people's windshields and it hurts. God sent hail on the land, Pharaoh said.
No.
God sent an eighth plague, locusts. Locusts is another type of bug, but these bugs are ones that eat up everything. Kind of like cicadas, yeah. And so God sent locusts on the land, eating up everything, Pharaoh says. You all know at this point, he says. God sent a ninth plague. Darkness fell on the whole land. Go ahead.
And the tenth one, he's going to say yes.
Yes. Darkness, spoiler alert. Darkness fell over the whole land. There was no light, Pharaoh said. So finally, God sent a tenth plague. Now, this one we're going to park at a little bit. God gave a warning. He said, let my people go, or all of the firstborn sons in Egypt will die. So who's the firstborn son in here? In here, in this room right now. Who's a firstborn son? You're a firstborn son. I'm a firstborn son.
I'm a lastborn daughter.
Yeah, you would have been saved. Yeah, who's the oldest? You're the oldest boy of your parents. The oldest boy? Okay. Yeah, so if you were in Egypt, all you would have died. Yeah, all the firstborn sons in Egypt. Now, well, here's how it happened. So, God said, I'm going to pass through the land, okay, at night. And every home that has a firstborn son, the firstborn son is going to die. That's how serious this got. Except for the houses that had blood on the door. And God told the Israelites, his people, to put blood on their doors so that when he passed through, if there was blood on the doors, and this is going to be important, so pay attention to this. If there was blood on the doors, he would pass over that home and wouldn't kill the firstborn son. And so this event, okay, along with the big feast and eating, became known as the Passover, which is celebrated, okay, this is the first Passover, still celebrated. So we'll talk more about that. But even Jesus, when he was on the earth, celebrated the Passover. Why is it called the Passover? Yep, because if they had what on the door? Blood. Yeah. Yeah, they said. He said, get. Yeah, a lamb, exactly. A lamb from each household. So, what? How did it happen? Well, let me tell you. So afterwards, okay. Go ahead. Yes. Well, by this point, they still had some come back. And remember, at this point, like the Israelites' livestock did not die. They still had some animals. And it was their animals' blood that they were putting on the doors. So, Pharaoh himself had a firstborn son. And his son died. No, his son died. And so now it has gotten too personal. Pharaoh has been struck very deeply. And finally, Pharaoh says, let my people, or you can let them go. Finally, he says yes. So Moses gets everybody. Now at this point, how many people did we start with? There's about 600,000 of them now, okay? They multiplied greatly, okay? Plus all their stuff, their animals. They even took some stuff from the Egyptians, some jewelry and some gold, okay?
Not stole,
okay? Because God said, go to them and ask them for some provisions. And they got some provisions. So all of them, they got all their stuff. And so Moses, leading the way, said, let's book it. Let's go. We're leaving Egypt. They went out. They went into the wilderness. Now, let's go back. Genesis chapter 12. God promised Abraham what?
A
nation. And that nation would have what? Land. They would have land. So the Israelites aren't just leaving Egypt just to leave Egypt. They're headed towards... Okay, I just wanted you to keep that in your mind. We're not going to talk about that today, but I just wanted you to keep that in mind. So they're headed out. They're in the wilderness, okay? They're gone. Now, back in Egypt, okay, there's mourning, there's weeping, they're upset. But Pharaoh, okay, in typical Pharaoh fashion, after he let them go, he said, I want them back. He got his armies ready, got his horses and chariots ready. He said, go get those Israelites. So they all go. They're going to get the Israelites. And so now we have a big confrontation. The Israelites, okay, are by the Red Sea. So everybody look on this side of the room. Picture that this is a huge body of water, okay, a big sea. Go ahead. No. So they get to the Red Sea, and the Israelites are there, okay? The Israelites are there. Now, they look. The Egyptians are coming to the Israelites, okay? Now they're moving fast because they're on horses, they're on chariots, they're chasing, they're coming. They're coming for the Israelites. They want them back as slaves. Now, the Israelites, okay, and you'll come to find this out because we're going to talk about this in the coming months. This is the first of many times that they started complaining. Moses, why didn't you just let us stay in Egypt? Did you bring us into the wilderness so we can be buried here? We could have just stayed as slaves. Why you got to bring us out here? They complained to Moses. The first of many times, and Moses says, in paraphrasing, he says, trust the Lord. Be still. Let God handle this. If he brought us out, he will take care of us. And so the Egyptians are coming, and God speaks to Moses. He says, stretch out your hand over this body of water. Okay? Stretch it out. So Moses did. And do you know what happened? Because remember, they couldn't really swim. They didn't have boats. Okay, so there's no other way for them to get across this big body of water. And what happened? They separated. The water split. Now, this is another what kind of event? A supernatural event. Now some people will ask, well, how did that happen? God couldn't do that. But who created the bodies of water in the first place? So is it unreasonable to think that God could separate the waters?
Yeah.
No, it's not unreasonable. It's very reasonable to think that, I got you. It's very reasonable. So God separated the waters. There's dry land, and the Israelites all go marching across to the other side. All of them get over. Now, when the Egyptians get into the Red Sea, thinking that they got them, and the Egyptians get in there, guess what happened? The water came collapsing back over the Egyptians. It came collapsing back over the Egyptians. And so the Israelites got to the other side, freed from the Egyptians. So that's the story. Those are the events. Not the whole lesson, but that's the story. God led his people safely into victory. So let's interpret. Why? Let's interpret what this means. Okay, why did all this happen? Let's figure it out. Number one, okay, and I mentioned this already. The Egyptians believed in other gods, okay? So God sent the plagues so that the Egyptians would know that he is the only true God. Okay, that's why God sent the plagues. Number two, God sent the plagues so that when Israel got into the wilderness and eventually their promised land, they would know that it was only God who freed them. Let me ask you this. If Pharaoh had said yes the first time, who would the Israelites have thanked? Pharaoh. Right? Because they wouldn't have had any issues with him. But by Pharaoh saying no 9 different times and finally saying yes on the 10th time, by the time the Israelites got freed, who did they know freed them? God. If Pharaoh had said yes, they would have thanked who? But after all the plagues, they knew it was only who? So in other words, God let the plagues go on so that when they got into the wilderness, they would worship God. Okay? Yes. But jealous is different in the way that we would think of jealousy and God is jealous. Like, our jealousy is rooted in sin, okay, because we're corrupted by sin. So our jealousy comes out of a sin nature. God's jealousy comes out of holiness, so it's different. So we'll talk about that a little bit more. So now I'm going to ask this question, okay? So we know why God sent the plagues, right? To do what? What was the purpose of all this? Moses, but he wanted to what? Freed them, yes. The purpose was to free them, okay? But now I'm going to ask one more question. This is what I meant. I need everybody's thinking caps on. Stick with me, okay? Now, why did God want to free them?
Because they wouldn't be slaves.
So they wouldn't be slaves, okay? Yes, exactly. They had to have a lot of people. Okay, that's we're getting there, okay. But we're missing the main goal. So I need 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I need 8 readers, which means I need 8 people to have their Bibles. I need someone to get Exodus 4, verse 23. KJ's going to get that. I need someone to get Exodus 7, verse 16. You got that? 7, verse 16. I need someone to get 8, verse 1. I need someone to get 8, verse 20, Jamar. 9 verse 1, Chioki. 9 verse 13 through 14. You can read it from your seats. You have 4 verse 23, I believe. You have 9 verse 1. Exodus. The book of Exodus. You have 8 verse 1, or 8 verse 20. 8 verse 20. You have 9 verse 13 through 14. Can you get 9 verse 16?
9 verse
1. Exodus. So it's the second book of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
9 verse 13 through 14. Okay, you have 9, chapter 9, 14, yep. Okay, you have chapter 9, verses 16, okay? Perfect.
Wait, Jamar got 820?
Yes, 820, okay? And I'll read 10, verse 3, okay? What? Yes. Okay. Do you need a Bible? Let me get you a Bible. Thank you. Oh, you have one? Okay, cool. So you can turn to Exodus, second book, and we're going to flip through some various scriptures. All right. Are all of my readers ready?
Yes.
Okay. Almost. Okay. Well, let's start with the first one. Listen. The same thing is going to be repeated. And I'm going to ask at the end what it is, okay? The same thing is repeated. Remember, we're looking for purpose. What does purpose mean?
A reason.
A reason. Why, okay? In other words, son, clean your room. And you say,
why?
You want to know the purpose for it, right? Okay, so we're looking for the purpose of Israel's deliverance. Okay, start with 4 verse 23. Go ahead. Stand when you read it. Very good. Thank you. 7 verse 16. That's okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Exodus 7 verse 16.
Has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And behold, hitherto thou hast not hearkened.
Very good. Thank you. 8 verse 1.
That's me, you guys.
8 verse 1. Go ahead.
Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go, so they may worship me.
Okay. Hopefully you've been picking up something. If not, pay attention. The same thing is going to be repeated. 8 verse 20. Stand up, please. 8 verse 20. 8 verse 20.
And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh.
Speak up.
Pharaoh, he cometh for the water, said unto him, thus said the Lord, let my people go, they
Why?
May serve me.
Okay. 9 verse 1. Just the first verse. Listen. Same thing is going to be repeated. 9 verse 1.
Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, those say the Lord God for God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me.
That they may serve me. Okay. 9 verse 13 through 14. This is a little bit longer one.
Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning, confront Pharaoh, and say to him, this is what the Lord, the God of Hebrews, says. Let my people go so that they may worship me.
That they may worship me. 9 verse 16. Go ahead. Stand up, please. 9 verse 16. You can read.
I don't know how.
Chapter 9. So we're here at verse 16. I'll read it along with you. But I have raised you up for this very purpose, that I might show you my power and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. A little bit different, but same idea. Yeah. I'm going to read the last one. I'm going to close this out. I'm reading from a different version than you might have, but it says the same thing. Chapter 10, verse 3. Chapter 10, verse 3. And it says, so Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? And this is the verse that's key. Let my people go that they may serve me. What was the chief, number one reason that God wanted the Israelites freed? If you know it, say it aloud.
Worship.
Worship was the chief reason why God wanted the Israelites freed. Does that put in perspective how important worship is to God? That he will let all those plagues persist. We talked about some other reasons, but everything ultimately was heading towards worship. So, what does this have to do with us then? What does this have to do with us? Well, someone flip, and in fact, only a couple of you have it, but I'm going to put it up. The first page of your packet. Okay, what does it say? What's the title of this series? Exodus saved from, saved for. Now, I said last time that we would be able to say what we are saved from and what we are saved for. So the Israelites were saved from slavery for
worship.
Okay, well, very similar to the Israelites, we too, at one point, were all in slavery. Okay, and I'm not talking about African American slavery. Okay, I'm talking about you personally. Okay, because I don't think anyone in this room has been underneath slavery physically. Okay, but we've all still been in slavery. That's probably brand new information for a lot of you. Okay, you haven't probably thought about that. But we at one point were in slavery to sin. When Adam sinned, one human born after him was born into sin. Two humans born after him were born into sin. Three humans born in after him were born into sin. Or every human born after him was born into sin. Go ahead. All the above. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Every human born after Adam was born into sin. Go ahead. Everyone, that's right. That includes us. So when we were born into a sin nature. In other words, sin was our master. Just like Pharaoh was the master over the Israelites, sin was a master over us. But, why are we no longer slaves to sin?
Because we have freedom.
Because we have freedom. And who do we have freedom through? God, and namely who? Who came into the earth? Not Pharaoh. Jesus. We have freedom because of Jesus. Because Jesus did what? He died for our sins. Now, I'm going to ask this. What kind of death did Jesus die? A pretty death or a bloody death? A bloody death. And so it is the blood of Jesus's death and his resurrection that saves us, right? Now let's go back. In the Passover, what was over the doors? Can you begin to see how God, many years before, was preparing the way for us to understand that he saved them because of the blood that was on their doors, and we are saved from sin because of whose blood that covers us?
Jesus's
blood. Again, remember I said in the beginning, I'm just going to turn this off. Thank you. Remember I said in the beginning that we can see Jesus in a little bit of the Bible?
Yes.
No.
Nope.
In one book of the Bible, in four books of the Bible, or all books of the Bible? In every book of the Bible, it is prefiguring, or in another words, it is anticipating, it is getting us ready, it is pointing towards Jesus. Everything, as he is the main character. We are saved by the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm glad you all have your thinking caps on, because I'm not done yet. Almost, but not done yet. For what? What are we saved from? For? We are saved from sin, but for what? Worship. We are saved for worship. Just like the Israelites were saved for? We are saved for? Worship. And remember the ways that we can worship. Okay, we talked about this at the beginning last time. It's on the first page of your packet. We can worship through singing, dancing, exercising, eating, laughing, reading, learning, playing outside, and observing nature. When done correctly, and we'll talk about that a little more, but when done correctly, these are all enjoyable things, right? How many people like to read? How many people like to play outside? How many people like to eat? Who made food? God made food. How many people like to laugh, to sing, to dance? Who made all this? God made all this. And so it's not wrong to do these things. In fact, they are expressions of worship. Worship is so much bigger than two songs we sing on a Sunday morning. We worship with our whole lives, because that's what Paul, a guy we'll talk about in the New Testament, says, whatever you do, do it as if for the glory of God. So when you go to school tomorrow, can you worship? Yes. Yes. Does that mean you have to get up in the middle of class and break into an A and B selection? No. But when you do your math homework, can you worship? Because God is a God of order, right? So who created the systems that we learn math in?
Jesus.
God. God is in charge of all of history. So when you go into social studies, are you learning about God?
Yes.
Yes, because who controls history?
God.
And God made all of our bodies. So when you go to science class, who are you learning about really?
Jesus.
Yes. And everything you do, you can
worship.
Worship is so much bigger. So much bigger than just a couple songs we can sing. And that's the point, my brothers and sisters. That is the point. That is the point of why we are here. Worship. So on your packet, in your packets, I'm going to say this and then I'll close. This is it. I have a visual for you to remember this by. Okay. It's on page 6. It's on page 6, okay? It's on page 6. Okay. This says the pyramid of purpose, okay? Pyramid of purpose is what this says, okay? Pyramid of purpose, okay? No, it's not in your Bibles. It's in your packets. It is in your packet right here. Pyramid of purpose, okay? I want you to remember this lesson, okay, by this pyramid. Okay, for the sake of this pyramid, the bottom level is going to be important, okay, but the least important. Okay, the middle level is going to be more important, but it is going to be the very top of the pyramid that is the most important. All three of these are important, okay, but they're all building to what's at the top. So, at the bottom of this pyramid, what does it say? Deliverance, okay? One of the purposes why God saves you, it's not wrong to say that God saved the Israelites because they were oppressed. It's not wrong to say God delivers us from something for ourselves, because he does, okay? But that's at the bottom. The second one says what? What does it say, Jamar? Salvation, okay? The kind of the middle level of why things are done is so that we can be safe, that we can be saved, okay? God preserved the nation of Israel because who came through that nation?
Jesus.
And Jesus brought what into the world?
Kind of.
Salvation. Salvation. So God did it so that Jesus could come into the world for salvation. That's a secondary reason. But what is at the very top?
Worship.
Yes. Yes. It's not that the others aren't reasons, but they all point to the
top.
To the top, which is worship. So if you didn't hear anything else I say today, what I want you to do is there's a question that I want you to ask yourself this week and next week and for the rest of your lives.
Yeah.
And you can remember me by this for as long as you live, okay? In every circumstance you go through, because life will get difficult, okay? Life can be difficult now. Always, always ask yourself, how can I worship God in this? Always ask yourself that. Because the main reason why you go through anything you go through is worship. So what's the question that for the rest of your lives you ought to ask yourself? What's the question?
How do I worship God?
How can I worship God in this? What's the question?
How can I worship God? God?
How can I worship God in this? What's the question?
Ask Chris.
What's the question, Chris?
How can I
what?
Worship God. Say it.
Worship God.
In this. What's the question?
How can I worship
God in this? That's the question. How can I worship God in this? Okay? All right, Sister Donna, it's all you.